This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. So today we're going to talk about confronting racism. Lots of questions, lots of conversations, lots of things happening around the world on this subject. And so we want to take a moment and really understand a Quranic perspective on this subject. You cannot study racism without going to Surah An-Nisa and going to the very first verse. The opening verse of this particular surah starts to highlight and even address and even cure the problems with racism. But before we get into that, let's try to understand a couple of things when we're talking about this massive subject. The first question that usually comes about when we're talking about racism is, how detailed is the Quran and Sunnah on this subject? And the answer to that, I mean, there are many answers, but one of the answers to that is the Quran isn't very detailed on this subject. It doesn't go into great detail, step-by-step scenarios and how to cope with them. The reason why is the verses that do actually address this issue are sufficient enough because they are direct, they are strict. You can definitely sense that when you read a few of these verses that Allah has zero tolerance when it comes to racism and discrimination. So an example of that is in Surah Al-Hujurat. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. None of us, no person is greater or more superior than the other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially for those of you that study Arabic, Allah says, لَا يَسْخَرْ, that you should never yaskhar. Yaskhar comes from the word sukhriya. And sukhriya is not just that you present yourself that you're superior and better than others, but it also means not to make fun of others and put them down. So not to normalize that a particular group, whether they are a minority or not, but based on their skin color, their religion, their background, basically the things that they didn't have a choice in. And even if they made that choice to be part of a particular religion or culture, that's their religion, that's the culture. They didn't design it, they didn't make it up, that's what it is. And that's the system, and those are the cultural traditions and habits that they follow. And it's not just them. There are millions of people that follow the same tradition, the same heritage. So when you look at all of those factors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسخر. You should never even make fun of or take it as a joke that a particular people are the way that they are. And this is something like a lot of comedians do this. You know, when you're watching stand-up comedy, that's one of the things that almost every comedian does as part of their act, is that they'll pick out somebody from a particular religion or background and just start making fun of the guy. Just pure jokes, pure blows at that person. And then what ends up happening is when we find something that's funny and it's entertaining, then it becomes habitual very quickly. Then we start doing it with ourselves. We start doing it with our own friends. We start doing it with people. And before you know it, you see and you hear what that comedian was saying about a particular group. You see that every time you meet somebody who's from the same group, from the same religion or the same race. We start replaying those moments, and before you know it, everybody becomes a joke to you. You start making fun of everybody with the same color or the same background. And subhanAllah, this is why Allah, without any hesitation, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. No nation was superior or should present themselves that they are better and superior than others. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. For the purpose of, hey, we've been chosen, we're preferred, we're more supreme and better than all of you. So here's how we're going to treat you, here's what we're going to act, we're going to tell everybody, we're going to treat everybody to make fun of you, we're going to turn you into one big laugh, one big joke. So the Quran, when it addresses this subject, it's very direct, it's very straightforward. And that's kind of one method of how you deal with the subject of racism, is that you attack the subject immediately without hesitation. You try to find whatever avenues, whatever methods, whatever options are there in order to tackle and focus all of your energy on eliminating and eradicating racism as a whole. I don't know if racism will ever leave our world, but we certainly have the ability to at least address it and control it wherever we are. We all have that that God-given right to be able to be here, to live, and to be treated like anyone else. No individual is more supreme and preferred over others simply because of the pigmentation in their skin. It's just not possible. It doesn't make any sense. And quite frankly, it's just silly. Because you and I, we didn't have a say. Okay, we didn't design our color, we didn't design ourselves, we didn't decide what color we were going to be. This was all beyond our control, and it comes from a being, from our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, that made this choice. And if any one of us was preferred over others, it would have been very clear, and the wisdom behind that would have been taught to us. But we simply don't have that. And one of the things that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, as one of the last things that he said in his final sermon to all of his companions, over 100,000 of them, he said to them that no black is superior to a white, no white is superior to a black. So in other words, none of you are preferred or superior over the other just because of your skin color. So when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam addresses that way, no one can now come about and be like, well, what if? Well, what if I believe this? Well, what if I've grown up this way? What if my culture taught me this way? It's done. It's case closed. Like, that should be thrown out of your mind and out of your life immediately. And so, unfortunately, until this day, there are still tribes that believe they're superior over others, like within the ummah, within Muslim communities. There are castes, there are still people from particular places, background, and skin color that for whatever reason have adapted this attitude. Racism is very much real and alive internally in our ummah. And so verse number 1 of Surah An-Nisa is going to help us address this problem, understand why it is so significant in the sight of Allah, and even just appreciate the language and the tone of the ayah. Now, Surah An-Nisa, here's one thing you want to know about this particular surah, because you have 114 surahs to choose from that you could have put this verse in. But Allah chose to put it in this particular chapter, chapter number 4, Surah An-Nisa. Why? Some of the scholars explain. Surah An-Nisa is the surah. One thing that makes it very unique and it stands out over others is that it addresses the extreme problems and the extreme issues in any community of any society. So for example, in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, you have a verse that tells you, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, and so on and so forth. Allah has prohibited for you in marriage your mom, your sister, your daughter, your son, etc. The question is, who would want to do something like that to begin with? The answer, unfortunately, there are people in this world that would actually consider doing something like that. And so this surah addresses the extreme of the extreme. So that's why you have a verse that way, because if this issue had ever come up in any community, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his law immediately addresses it, saying that is the worst of the worst scenario. And so in this case, obviously, this is all prohibited. And Allah gives you a list of all of that. That's what Surah An-Nisa is. When it talks about hypocrites, it doesn't just introduce hypocrites, but Allah describes their behaviors, their attitude, even the way that they worship and they pray. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. When they stand up for prayer, they stand up and they do it intentionally out of laziness. So they don't really want to be there. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. But they're just doing it because they want people to see them. Oh yes, I saw him. He was at the masjid. Yeah, but he didn't want to be there. And he prayed like he was lazy. He was not interested. He complained. Why did Imam do this? Why is Imam saying this? Why is his salah so long? Why is it so short? Just one complaint after another. They didn't have that desire to be there. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And as a result, they don't remember Allah except just a little. Every now and then, maybe when they're in trouble, when they're cornered, then they'll remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But otherwise, Allah is out of the picture. Now, with that being said, this surah addresses the extreme of extreme in culture and society. What's the first verse in Surah An-Nisa? What is it talking about? Racism. That's the extreme of extreme. In other words, for a racist, if you're somebody that has even the slightest attitude or inclination towards racism, you've already fallen into the extreme. in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, that's how shameful racism is. That the moment, for a split second, if you feel as though you're superior and better and preferred over others just because of the color of your skin, this ayah, Allah put it in Surah An-Nisa, it's like a territory you should never, ever be part of. And I understand totally that it's not just human beings, in the sense that it's not just something that we see and we talk about. I mean, you have entertainment industries, you have TV shows, you have a whole culture that's behind pushing this narrative that a particular group or race is better and preferred. They're always the leaders, they're always in charge, they're always making the decision. So there's a bit of propaganda behind this massive subject of racism, right? And so it's been encouraging and it's been put out there. You see it in movies, you see it in commercials, you see it all over the place. And so that culture has developed to the point where people actually started to believe this stuff. So what does Allah say? Ya ayyuhan nas, not ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Oh, all of mankind. So if there's one person that's a racist, this message is not just to the one person, it's to everybody. Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Here's the first instruction, how the Quran tackles the subject. Ittaqoo rabbakum. Have taqwa of your master. We can talk about taqwa all day. Always remember, taqwa, it's the consciousness or awareness that Allah is watching you and listening to you. Like, He's always there. What does that do for a believer? It now you internalize that the presence of Allah is with you all the time. He's there, He's watching, He's monitoring, etc. That causes you now to be more cautious of the things you say and do. Because why? Ultimately, you want to please your Creator. So that's called taqwa. So scholars explain further, and then as a result, you're protecting yourself from any consequence with Allah. Because why? Since you know He's watching, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. He knows what you're keeping a secret, and He knows what you're letting out that's obvious. But at the same time, you're being cautious of yourself, because why? You do not want to be a subject to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of that is called taqwa. Remember, we're talking about racism right now. So the first instruction Allah says is, anybody who feels that they're superior over others, fear Allah first and foremost. Ittaqoo rabbakum. Then Allah explains, you know why? الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Because you all came from one nafs, nafsin wahida. He created all of us from one nafs. That's referring to Adam alayhi salam. In other words, we all have the same father. We all came from the same person. We're all his progeny. We're all part of this legacy of Adam alayhi salam. So in other words, do you see how the Quran is tackling this? We are all the same in terms of creation, in terms of presence, in terms of just being a human being. We're all the same. We might look different, talk different, act different, eat different, do things differently. Our behaviors might be differently. Our attitudes might be different. But we're still human beings. And that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. So Allah reminds us that, hey, you guys came from the same father, Adam alayhi salam. مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And He created for him his wife, زَوْجَهَا, his wife. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرٌ وَنِسَاءً. And as a result, they're spread out, it multiplied, it started to expand the population on this earth. More men, more women. So in other words, the verse is saying that as a result of all of you coming from the same father, the same Adam alayhi salam and his wife, meaning that these are our mothers and fathers, these are the first human beings put on the face of this earth. The fact that that's our legacy, that's where it goes back to at the end of the day. The world and the population and all the different people that you see around you, the different colors, the different cultures and so on, this is all from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allowed this to happen. It wasn't me, it wasn't anybody else. So when somebody says that by association, meaning because I belong to a particular color, you know, we should be treated differently, have no right to say that whatsoever. What gives you the right to do that? Why would you ever for a moment say that to anybody when you had no involvement, no say in creation to begin with? Because if that was the case, if somebody felt they were preferred, then why didn't you design a human being yourself? Why didn't you create all of us to be the same way? Why didn't you just design others, your friends, your neighbors, the people that you're surrounded with on this earth? Because let's face it, you don't have nowhere else to go and live. You can't go to Mars. You can't go to any other planet. You have to live right here with everyone else. So the fact that these subjects like racism and so on, they're so limited, like you don't have much to say about it because there's nothing you can do. You have to just learn to understand, accept, and cooperate is your first indication that racism is just simply shameful and wrong. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Then fear Allah, the same Allah or creator that you're always asking about. So this is specifically referring to the mushrikun. They always would talk about, who's this Allah? Who's this person? Or who's this creator? Who is this thing? We want to know what he is. Where is he? Can I talk to him? Can I touch him? Can I see him? They ask these kinds of questions. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي, and have taqwa of the one that you're asking about, and the wombs, and remember where you came from. In other words, this is just absolutely remarkable. When mom is about to give birth, like she's pregnant, the child, you have no say. You don't know what color the child will be. You don't know when that child grows up, who they're going to be more inclined to marrying and how their future is going to look. You don't know anything like that. And so Allah says, fear Allah, the Allah that you ask about, the Allah that you talk about, but also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the womb when the mother is carrying that child? Because you have no say, no input on how that child is going to develop, grow, and what kind of child, in terms of color, obviously, when she gives birth to her child. We just simply don't know. You hope that it'll be similar because of, you know, science and biology and all of those things that can tell us, okay, you know, if I'm a particular color, my husband or my wife is a particular color, then the child should be a particular color. That's usually how it works. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Him, because you simply don't know. It's a reminder to all of us, when we have no say and no involvement in something, it's our first clue that we have no right to change that, to touch it. We have to accept it for what it is. Because why? That is the way that Allah wants it to be. He is al-musawwir. He is the one that fashioned all of us. So don't look in the mirror, especially to the youngsters. A lot of them do this, wishing that you would look a certain way, that your skin would be a certain way, you know, that your eyes and your facial features could all change. Don't do that. Allah is al-musawwir. He fashioned you. And unless you have like an emergency or a medical issue, you have to be grateful and you have to be content and you have to accept that at the end of the day, Allah put all of us on this earth to live together. We don't have our own bubble homes and gardens and parts of cities where we never interact and mix with no other human being. That's not the way the world lives. And so we have to understand that just by association, we have to cooperate. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah says that He is the one upon all of you, a raqib. Raqib is like the farmer that grabs an animal by its neck and steers it where it wants to go. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if I really wanted to, I could literally grab you by the neck and force you to be and go in whatever direction I need you to be and I need you to go. In other words, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you think you're supreme and preferred over others, like you can control others, well, just remember, we are like cattle to the sight of Allah in the sense that Allah can literally grab us by our necks and control us. So what do you say to that? This is Allah exercising and reaffirming and showing His authority over those who think they have authority over Allah's creation. You don't. Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that in this ayah. That's how Surah An-Nisa starts off. That's how the surah that addresses the most extreme issues in culture and society, that's the first subject that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to remind us about. Before we talk about anything, before we get into marriage, before we get into the hypocrites, before we get into any other legal issues with respect to relationships, there's a large chunk of Surah An-Nisa about orphans, before we talk about orphans, before we talk about the mahar, all of these subjects, before we talk about inheritance, Allah wants you to know you are all equal to one another in terms of creation. How you behave and the choices you make, that's what separates you. But at the end of the day, your presence alone, you are equal to everyone else. That's the tone that Allah sets when you want to reform or build a community that is equal, that is pluralistic in the sense that it allows everybody to live in harmony, to cooperate, to respect each other. If you want to get to that stage, then the first thing is eliminate any feeling or attitude of superiority over others. And that's discrimination. That's racism. Allah says, remove all of that. And subhanAllah, I just think it's amazing that this is the starting verse of Surah An-Nisa. It is one of the longest surahs of the entire Quran. And that's the opening sentence. That's how Allah sets the tone. And so with that being said, there is so much to talk about on this subject. But I hope that at least this verse gives us some insight of how the Quran addresses this subject. You know, as soon as this ayah is done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into another subject. Eventually comes back to this later on in the surah. But the point is, Allah sets the law down, speaks in very direct, very firm language, and literally zero tolerance. When you approach racism with that kind of attitude, you're able to understand why it exists, but you're also able to know why you have to combat and confront racism, whether it be at work, at school. We as Muslims, just because somebody, you know, is not Muslim, doesn't mean we can't stand up for them. You know, if you see racism at work, say something, stand up to it, you know, address it. If it's happening right beside you, on the bus, at least say something. I mean, make sure you're safe. Make sure that you're not going to escalate the problem and add to it, but at least voice your opinion that that's not right. Like, what are you doing? Why are you talking that way? Why are you treating someone that way? So subhanAllah, one of the most shameful qualities in a human being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. This is all I want to share with you today, bi-ithnillah. I think with this subject, because of considering the events that are unfolding and happening around the world, I think we're going to come back to this subject again and again a few more times before we conclude this series. But this is yet again another verse in the Quran that teaches us how to behave and how to interact, how to cooperate with one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and knowledge and wisdom to receive this ayah, to practice and implement its teachings, and to encourage others to do so. Allahumma ameen. Fajazakumullahu khairan, everyone. Take care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.